Howdy, and welcome to episode 8 of Hello Fairview, your local podcast made right here in Fairview for people in Fairview and the surrounding areas. This is a weekly show released every Wednesday featuring stories that aim to inform and maybe even inspire. Local radio stations like this don't exist in small towns like ours anymore. We'll use Hello Fairview to fill that void with news related to Fairview. This is a value for value podcast, which means you contribute what you can based on what value you receive. This concept was founded by the Podfather himself, Adam Curry, and his co-host John C. Dvorak of the No Agenda Show over 18 years ago. Currently, this is just a one-man operation, and so if you have any ideas, events, business opportunities, job openings, please don't hesitate to let me know. You are the producer of this show. You are not the product because your time and attention are not being sold to advertisers for value. Some shows are going to be longer than others. Some will be shorter, but I'll do my best to keep things relevant. This is, here we go. All right. Traffic time. It's the normal busy. Cumberland and 100 have been a lot better for sure. There still continues to be closures here and there as they keep widening the road and having to big the culvert on 100. So we'll see how that goes. TDOT doesn't really give us that much notice of that officially. There's not an official big plan that I've been able to find, even after calling TDOT, that shows any of the milestones or anything like that. But they're doing that. You may have also seen some lane closures throughout the city as Middle Tennessee Electric prepares for winter by trimming all the trees around power lines all around town. I even got blocked by them on two separate roads in the same day, but that is good. So hopefully that'll keep our power on if we get a good winter. Halloween related to traffic, it didn't really cause any major backups. Nothing really went red from there watching the Googles. And we were in Castleberry, and there was a lot fewer cars and trick-or-treaters, which was good in one sense, but there was also less houses doing stuff too. I think we've maybe finally reached peak trunk or treating, and everybody was just had already wore their costume 2, 3, 4 times between the 20 plus that were around our little area, and that'll be what it'll be. We're growing. City news. The commissioner reached out and talked about the health department again, which is right across the elementary school, recently was renovated and helped, and they've got a stock of vaccines if needed, as well as other medical services. So please go check them out, especially if you're in need right now of any of that stuff. Fairview Police Department is still doing their Shop with a Cop. Applications are still open, and you can pick them up at the police department between 8 a.m. and 4 p.m., and everything must be completed and turned in for participants and child by November 14th at 4 p.m. So we continue to give thanks to our community and local business for their support throughout the year, because these fundraising and donations have done that. If you need to donate to the police department, you can mail that to the city of Fairview, P.O. Box 69 in Fairview, Tennessee. Real estate update related to we're growing here. There's been 8 property transfers here in Fairview. Ranging from as little as $300,000 on Adams Preserve to $1.644 million at Bowie Meadows Phase 1, which is on Cox Run Drive. So there's definitely stuff moving around, and the average price was around $500,000. So there we go. All right, town meetings. So right now, there wasn't any Board of Zoning Appeals, no Planning Commission, other than the last one was 1014, which is 183 homes. Board of Commission, there is one meeting coming up tomorrow on November 6th at 7 p.m., and the agenda was published. The agenda is posted in the show notes, but basically we've got some of the previous month's Planning Commission stuff on here, where we have 111 acres on Pinewood Road going from RS40 to RS10. This is the second and final reading. And the same thing on Old Franklin Road, 10 acres going from RS40 to R20. And then another one that was on there previously was on Highway 96, rezoning 7.26 acres from RS-40 to Industrial General, and that was planned to be a warehouse, so that will be good. New business for this upcoming meeting tomorrow is Ordinance 2025-23, which is 3.73 acres on Harrison Drive, moving from RS-40 to RS-10. And then 3.17 acres on Hald Road that is moving from RS-40 to RS-15. So a little bit bigger lots, 15,000 square foot versus 10,000. And there'll be some 2026 meeting date discussions, as in which date they're going to put it on. And then there will be commissioner roundtable updates. So we'll look forward to seeing some of those, because there's all kinds of good information sometimes sprinkled in those. Recap, we had a board of commissioner town hall in the previous meeting. That was on 10/28. There was one public comment. She basically talked about the farmer's market and everything in between there. So that was good to hear, and basically asking questions about what is going on with the farmers market and when it's happening. But we'll see that. And another gentleman talked about RS-40 and RS-10 and if it was going to do that. And I put the rest of the stuff in the show notes. There was lots of good stuff there about some of the plays and things that are going on, and obviously some of the TPUDC things, some trunk or treat stuff and everything in between there. But our next meeting, Planning Commission meeting, will be the 18th. No agenda has been posted yet for that. There's no new meetings for Board of Commissioners till November 6th, which is tomorrow, and the 20th. And there's partial agendas. We have agendas for the 6th meeting, which we just went over. And then the town hall is on September 29th, 2026. That got moved out. November 3rd, we have the Park and Landscapes Board, which was this week. That was at Triangle School. There's no notes or anything recorded there. So I guess they probably talking about the historic village, if I'm guessing. Around Town Coffee is scheduled for next week, November 12th at 7 p.m. at the Pearl. So be there. And then also on November 6th, it is the Beer Board. Basically, this only happens when someone actually applies. So basically, an off-premises beer permit, which is the Shell station at I-40 and 96 at the red light, is getting it. And they had to also list what was interesting in the application, if they're what the closest school, church, or daycare or nursery is, which is Loblolly Preschool. An off-premise permit, which means you can buy and sell beer that's consumed somewhere else, unlike an on-premises permit, which is where you can do it there. And I posted the agenda stuff there. State of Tennessee, obviously yesterday, November 4th, 2025, was a big election day across the U.S. There were some governors, some Congress members, some propositions, and many other races, especially state and local levels in many, many areas. So that happened there. The government is still shut down, so things are still getting wild at airports. The air traffic controllers calling in, TSA calling in, as we head into beyond 30 days of the government shutdown. Tennessee has been trying to help with Governor Bill Lee to fund some programs to feed some people while the government programs are down, by helping donate money to food banks and some of the other organizations, some religious, some not, to help that happen. The Secretary of State released a report that they found 42 possible non-citizens voted in the 2024 election out of the 4.3, so that's 0.0001%. No more news spots in Memphis. The National Guard, I guess, is still doing things. December 2nd is still going to be the special election for the 7th U.S. District House seat, which is us here in Williamson County, again with Afton Ben from the Democrats and Matt Van Epps from the Republicans, based on the primary results. More news of them going back and forth and potential seats as we get closer there. There was also a couple cool leaks from some budget hearings that I posted in here, which were just yesterday, so I did not have time to go through 6 hours of that. The Music City Loop, we're still digging and drilling things. They've purchased more land. Just like we talked about last week, the airport released a video about the Terminal 2, which will have 70 more gates and around 300 more acres. This is scheduled to start around 2038. In the bills, you know, here's what we have this week. Nothing super detailed, but the agenda for today, which, you know, I could watch live, with all the companies that are taking money and what they do. So I've heard some of these company names before. Some are new, but it also makes me wonder, and I can't find it, how much money is being sent to each one of these companies way out of there. So if we go to Correction for Jails, Centurion of Tennessee, LLC, General Services, SSOE, Health Facilities Commission, Diversified Technologies, LLP and Health, Inductive Health Informatics, LLC, SA Holdco, Infra, blah, 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 Human Services, Alliance and Enterprise, Evident Change. That was all health-related companies. Secretary of State, Coughlin Companies, which is Capstone and Capstone Classroom, Dorger Software Architects Incorporated, Education. There was Cambian Assessment, NCS Pearson, Agriculture. There was MXI Environmental Services for the Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency, Beacon Technologies, which is part of TennCare, United Healthcare Community Plan, Volunteer State Health Plan, Blue Cross Blue Shield, doing business as Blue Care Tennessee. Sorry about that. WellPoint Tennessee, Volunteer State Health Plan, Blue Care Tennessee, TennCare Select. I guess a different business entity owns TennCare versus TennCare Select. OptumRx, Council on Affordable Quality Healthcare, Equifax Workforce Solutions, Keystone Peer and Organization, LLC, KPMG, LLP, Mercer Health and Benefits, NTT Data, State and Health Consulting. So lots of agricultural and TennCare related things. TennCare obviously winning with the most things going on with over 10 companies, I guess, talking. And when it comes to that, is then after that, November 13th, there is the State Building Commission. The agenda hasn't been posted for that, but we'll have to see how that is. Now to House the Hill. Well, it's definitely passable. Fall is rocking, but it's moving below freezing real soon. The lows this weekend are on Sunday and Monday expected to be in the 20s and the highs in the 40s. So you need to take your hose off your spigot before the weekend freeze gets here. Then they are also guessing sick highs of 60s and low of 40s for the rest of the week. So we'll have to see how that goes. New businesses. Nothing new spotted. Ace Hardware is definitely making a lot of progress across from Tractor Supply Co. There's still an open slot at Publix and Bowie Commons and Bowie Meadows. Other than that, I haven't spotted anything else new for there. Farmers Market. We need to make sure we're heading there every Saturday morning and supporting some of our local businesses from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m., not earlier. At Messick Chiropractic and Fairview Fresh Daily Deli Donuts for their life-changing apple fritters and to get your back all fixed up at Messick, located down the road and across the street from Publix. So many good places for local beef and pork, breads and treats, local fruits and vegetables, along with some hot sauce, fishing lures, and a lot of holiday gifts this time of year. And I know you will also most likely see the Boy Scouts Troop 297 will be there to sell Christmas trees later this year as we get closer. Brick and mortar highlight. So probably MJ and Sons Wrecker Service. This is our local towing company used by most people. I've used them a couple times and their responsiveness to get the job done has been awesome. And that's really what you need in a tow truck company is you need them to show up when they say they're going to show up and take care of your vehicle as it's being towed. And that's what they do. And one of their quotes that I liked, your go-to choice for towing and recovering towing and recovery since 1989. You can call the rest, but you can choose the best with MJ Sons Record Service, trusted by families for over 35 years. Got a link to their website and to their Facebook page. And another local business highlight is another farmers market attendee, Doughy Duos. This is another one of our great regular local farmers market vendors. This is a mother-daughter team that makes fresh sourdough breads from plain to jalapeno cheese. And if you make a grilled cheese with that, it will take it to the next level. Their treats are also excellent from chocolate chocolate chip cookies to their specialty loaves, cinnamon rolls, and you never know what type of bread it may be. It may be shaped like a pumpkin right now, and it was Mummy's about a week ago. So definitely check them out. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. Job openings. Still a good pile of job openings throughout the city. There's still an associate planner position opened and the police officer. Walmart still has multiple positions. Cornerstone Financial Credit Union, Publix, Dunkin' Donuts, Boys and Girls Club, Subway, The Pearl, Taco Bell, Sonic, McDonald's, Tractor Supply Co., Marmon Holdings, Hardee's, and Destination Pet LLC. And if you have any other job postings, just let us know. Our history nugget for the day is the name origin of Vicksburg Road. During the Civil War, Vicksburg on the Mississippi River was a key battle that turned into the side of the Civil War. There were the Confederate Army. When the Confederate Army surrendered to Ulysses S. Grant on July 4th, 1863, this was a vital link in the supply chain from the North and South. This victory split the Confederate Army in half, which was the beginning of the end of the war. So that's where that comes from, is from the Battle of Vicksburg in Vicksburg, Mississippi. Upcoming events. Recap. Nothing really since last week. We have added a bunch of stuff to the calendar from the plays at FHS, FMS, and FHS. So some of the new events that are upcoming is this weekend, starting tomorrow, is the Fairview High School Rumors by Neil Simon. It's at 7 p.m. and then on the 7th at 7 p.m. and on the 8th, it's a doubleheader at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. Bowie Park, we've got November 6th. If you're not wanting to go to the theater, you can go there for some volunteer orientation earlier in the day from 10 to 11. November 8th, there is at Bowie, there is the playground pop-up. And Dixon will have their Christmas parade on November 9th, starting downtown at 10 a.m. So if you're going to go there. The Marine Corps birthday is next week, November 10th. This is their 250th birthday, just like the Army and the Navy earlier this year. Franklin, November 11th at 11 a.m. is the Veterans Day parade. And I think there's also one in Nashville at the same time, too. Now, on November 12th, 10 to 11:30 and 1 to 2:30 is the Bowie Homeschool Mammals and Myths and Mammal Survival. It shows both of those full, but if you've got a kid that's at homeschool, make sure you're signing up for these things. There's a lot of really cool opportunities at the park. On November 13th, it's Kindness Rock Painting Day at Bowie Park. November 15th at 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., the fall market is at the high school. Great place to get some Christmas gifts that are local and customized. And November 15th, the same day, Grace Works will also have the mobile food pantry from 8 to 10 a.m. or until food runs out. This is a great opportunity, especially with the government shutdown, to do that. And this is usually the meals that are themed to Thanksgiving meals. So you'll get the gravies and the taters and that kind of stuff. November 18th and 19th at Bowie is the intro to Feeder Watch. November 21st, 1 to 2 p.m. is the Leaf Critter Craft. November 22nd at Bowie is the Bowie Book Club. November 24th from 12 to 3 p.m. is a volunteer opportunity called Cider and Service Day, which sounds like it probably is fun. And then we get into December. We have the Christmas tree lighting December 5th at 5 p.m. And we have the Christmas parade December 6th at 10 a.m. Then we have the Adams family from the Fairview Middle School on December 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, with 11th and 12th being at 6 p.m. and December 13th being a 2 and 6 p.m. and Sunday being a 2 p.m. showing. And the links to sign up and get tickets for that are in the show notes. So make sure you click on it and click around. For the kids, there's still a ton of activities and sports in Fairview to keep your kids engaged. There's some cheer programs, recreation teams for baseball, basketball, football, and others. There is also a thriving Girl Scout and Boy Scout and Scouts BSA program here in Fairview. There are many recreation and travel teams if you're looking for that. If you're a homeschooler, make sure you're always continuing to check out the Bowie Park schedule for the clubs that meet there. Lala's Dance Studio and Elevate Gymnastics and Cheer is rocking for that genre. There is also an excellent Taekwondo and Jiu-Jitsu place that teaches way more than just moves called Vigilance Martial Arts. We also have a great Jackets wrestling program with some summer options right now. So that's good. School news. Well, first part of school news is no school November 24th through 28th for Thanksgiving. So make sure you make the trip and eat the food. Hawk and Tiger news. I have not seen anything new on there. I know they had their fun run last week at Westwood, which is kind of like the Hawk Walk for Fairview Elementary. So that went down. I know some high schoolers went over there to go have some fun with them. Falcon News, there's a fundraiser on November 18th called McTeacher Night at our local McDonald's from 4:30 to 7:30. 15% of the food will, food sales and 100% of apple sales will go to the school. So that's really good. FMS PTO is also starting to sell 24-inch and 36-inch wreaths that you can pick up at Lala's Dance Studio on 12-1 from 5 to 7:30 p.m. And thank you, Lala's Dance Studio, for supporting our schools like that. The book fair is rocking this week for 4th, for 5th, 6th, and 7th graders. 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. So they're rocking out and having fun there for each day. So make sure you send some book money over there. On the 4th, there was a wrestling match at Woodland and a home basketball team against Harpeth Middle School. I don't think I saw them post on the scores on that. And it didn't come in the newsletter. So on November 6th, there's the Honors Orchestra will perform a home basketball game against Columbia and a home wrestling match against Thompson Station. So it's going to be a busy day tomorrow on the 6th. And just like we said earlier, you can get your tickets for the Adams Family, which is on the 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th with multiple time slots in the show notes. It still shows a Veterans Day assembly at the high school on November 11th. So we'll have to see there. I'm not sure if they're having that. Bowling tryouts are going to happen December 9th at 3:30 at the Franklin Entertainment Center if you're wanting to be part of the bowling team for the middle school. Jacket news. The game against Waverly last week did not disappoint. With a 2-point conversion with the win at the last seconds. Basically, Fairview won by gaining 15 points in the last 6 minutes of the game, including a 2-point conversion within the last 30 seconds of the game to do that, with the final score of 29-28 Waverly, which means they have clinched the Region 6 championship and they are proceeding. So that's awesome. November 6th is another. November 6th is another championship game against Stratford at 7 p.m. So be there. It could be the last game of the season or the second to last if they win and get to keep progressing through the state championship regions. Fairview is at 8-2 and Stratford is at 3-6. So we wish them all the luck to get there and they hope to have a good and safe game. If you're not into football and you're into theater, you can see the first showings of Rumors starting on the 6th at 7 p.m. The pep rally is also November 7th, and at 7 p.m. is a showing at Rumors. And then on the 8th, there is the 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. showing of the same show if you want to make sure you get your chance to get in there. The fall market, just like we talked about, is November 15th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. This is a great place to support your local businesses and get some Christmas shopping. Every Friday, Kona Ice and Tom's Coffee will be there at lunchtime. Senior portraits and senior ads are due by November 21st. November 21st is still marked down as the career day. I'm not sure if they're having it, though, because I think it's every other year. The ASVAB test is on December 9th, and if you're planning on joining the military, this is a must-have, so get your study on because this will determine what job you can actually pick. Looks like the high school bowling team is rolling with practices coming up on the November 13th and 20th, and they'll making some trips to Thunder Alley and Dixon to get your roll on. And if you're for 8 to 12, if you have kids in 8th to 12th grade and they're looking for your creative outlet this winter, then there's a unforgettable season inspired by the hit Broadway Waitress. Tryout dates are November 14th, 17th, and 21st at 4:30 to 7:30. Rehearsals will be Monday through Fridays, 4:30 to 7:30. No experience necessary. Bring your energy and enthusiasm. tryouts and rehearsals take place at the Fairview High School. If you have a student who is starting to drive this year, you need to make sure they send the email to the principal to get the Schoology link, to get the Checkpoints driving training, and then pay for your parking pass, which is $15 per year. So that is some good stuff. Faith moment. If you haven't heard of the Patriot Academy, I suggest learning more, especially if you have kids and want to raise them as godly citizens. This is a sermon from Rick Green that did it at the Awakened Church. And this talks about the founding of the country and that this is just the first half of this sermon. But I think a lot of the stuff is really good, and hopefully you'll do that.
Bless you. Have a seat. Let's dive in quick. Make the most of every minute we've got together. I'm going to bring a lot at you really fast, so buckle up. David Barton and I both get accused of talking about 90 words a minute with gusts up to 350. Forget 90. We're starting at 350. We might even go above that. So I love being with you. It is so good to see God's people coming together. Didn't you miss that fellowship? Oh, my goodness. Just to get to see each other, smile at each other, hug each other, pray for each other, lay hands on each other. Man, we need it so bad. I'm so thankful for what you're doing. You're really a beacon to others around the country. You got great pastors here willing to bring. You know, I mean, John and Becky, Jurgen and Leanne, they understand the importance of God's word applying to every part of our lives, not just these boxes we try to put Christ in, these boxes we try to put the word of God in. They understand the importance of even influencing government with the word of God. There are not enough churches in America doing that anymore. It used to be the role of the church. We used to even call pastors in the Revolutionary War the black-robed regiment. The British hated them because they were actually so engaged in the culture, and they were teaching liberty to their flocks out of the Word of God. And then the pastors were grabbing the musket off the mantle and marching into battle with the people right out of their church. So the role of pastors and churches in American history has been huge. I want to bring it to maybe a point you may not expect, and that is when we think about our role as Christians in a free society like America, when we think about what it means to be a biblical citizen in the way that our nation works right now, I would suggest to you this morning that it actually goes back to the Great Commission, that when you think about the gospel itself, it is not just a one-time fire insurance salvation message, that the gospel, the actual idea of the Great Commission is not just to share the story of Christ and what Christ has done for you, but actually to make disciples of all men. And so when you look at it, it's therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Now, that means that there's nothing off limits. If you go and look at the teachings of Christ, if you take the Bible as a whole, there is no area of our culture that is off limits. And so he's given us a way to approach not just our finances and our family, but also our community, also our freedom itself. And so there's a biblical way to do this. And if we would follow the biblical example, the whole culture would benefit from that. So if we, the church, are being salt and light and actually influencing what's happening outside, then everybody else benefits as well because we're sowing in the right principles that produce good results. I'm going to give you a little bit of an analogy here because I think it fits. And we got blessed about a year and a half ago and got a new truck in our family. Okay, so this is our truck. It's a nice, beautiful Dodge Ram 1500. I say we somewhat liberally because it's actually my wife's truck. But she does let me drive it every once in a while. Anyway, we're driving off the lot, and she's, of course, driving, and I open the glove box, and guess what I found in the glove box of this new truck? A manual. And the manual was written by the creator of that truck. The manual was instructions for us on how to operate that truck and get the most out of it, have it last the longest, perform at its best, all of those things. So we get this instruction manual written by the creator of the truck. And then as we're driving away from the parking lot, I'm looking at this manual, and I roll down the window and say, baby, this is our truck. Ain't nobody going to tell us how to live our truck. And I throw the manual out the window. And then we stop for gas, and we're going to get gasoline for this gasoline truck. But as we're pulling in, I say, you know, honey, I just kind of feel like a diesel today. So I think we should be a diesel. She's like, baby, we bought a gas truck. And I'm like, no, it's okay. I feel like a diesel today, so let's be a diesel truck today. And she says, maybe that manual we threw away might have said something about this, but, you know, we're going to try it anyway. We fill her up with diesel. How far out of that driveway you think we're getting? In fact, right around the corner, it's going to turn into a Chevy and break down. That's probably what's going to happen. So now that I've offended all the Chevy owners in the room, look, God has given us an instruction manual for life. The Bible teaches us how the brain works, how the body works, how relationships work, how society should work. All of that instruction is in there. And yet we too often as Americans want to say, nobody's going to tell me how to live. I'm going to have total freedom. I get to do anything and everything that I want. And we've redefined what freedom and liberty actually mean so that we can have a license for licentiousness rather than actually getting the best blessings of freedom by actually living within the boundaries that the author and the source of freedom actually gives us, because he knows how we work and what's going to produce a good result. So we want to use the instruction manual. Noah Webster's one of our founding fathers. He said, all the miseries and evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible. Now, just that little short list there's some personal things in there that would cause us pain in our lives, but there's some cultural things in there as well, societal things. And he's saying both personally and culturally and as a society, if we follow the Bible, we can avoid that pain. We ignore the Bible and the precepts of the Bible. We're going to experience that pain in our culture. So let's specifically look at your role in America. If we're going to teach people to obey all of Christ's commands, he said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. He said, well, Rick, how do I do that? How do I render? We don't have Caesar, right? But we do, actually. Who is Caesar in America? It's you. We the people. Government answers to you. Our system of government is different from the Roman Empire. When he uttered those words, that meant something different in terms of application. The principle was the same, but in terms of application, it was different because it was a different political and economic structure. In our political and economic structure, you are in charge. We the people are ultimately in charge. So if we're going to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, then we have to do our job as citizens. We literally have to say, okay, well, what does that mean to be we the people? How do I live out being Caesar in a free society? How do I take the Constitution and actually apply biblical principles to my society? Well, Charles Finney told us how simple this is. He was a speaker in the Second Great Awakening. In fact, this is a picture of him preaching, but that's not, it looks like John Travolta in Staying Alive. He just didn't have the white suit, but he was pretty good at that. Anyway, you know what inspired the movie now. He actually said the church must take right ground in regard to politics. Man, we could stop right there and say, well, wait a minute, Rick. What about separation of church and state? The church must take right ground in regard to politics. He's saying, yeah, politics, that's just part of a religion in a country such as this. And Christians must do their duty to their country as a part of their duty to God. He said, God will bless or curse this nation according to the course Christians take in politics. Well, right there, think about it. He's just saying politics, that's just like family, work, relationships, it's all part of our religion because the Bible applies to everything. There's no secular spiritual split in this idea of an instruction manual applying to our whole life. I mean, you would never walk away on Sunday morning driving home with your wife or your husband and saying, man, Pastor John was on fire today. I mean, that was such a great sermon about, you know, how to treat your spouse, how to raise your kids. It was a really good sermon on being a good husband or father or wife or mother. But, you know, I wish we could apply it when we get home, but separation of home and church. Can't do it. You know, you've never driven away from this church and said, man, Pastor John was preaching so good on how to be a good servant leader, how to be a good employer or a good employee, how to have good work ethic, how to treat people right. I wish I could apply it tomorrow at work, but separation of church and work. Why in the world do we allow ourselves to say separation of church and state? I can't apply God's word to how I'm going to vote on Tuesday or how I'm going to testify at the legislature, or how I'm going to influence the school board or the city council or all of these areas. There is no secular spiritual split. Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, I'm just a country boy from Dripping Springs, Texas. Country boy interpretation of that is, it's all his. Every bit of it. And if we are ignoring a part of it, or we're pretending that a part of it doesn't belong to him, then we're ignoring the instruction manual and we're ignoring what he actually gave us. So we've got to take right ground in regard to politics. Well, how do we do that in our culture? You've been given, just like in the parable of the talents, you've been given a talent of freedom. You've been given the ability to influence who your leaders are. Now, first of all, recognize in the context of history, most people who ever lived on the planet did not have that right. Did not have that talent, that gift of freedom to be able to choose their leaders, to be able to choose what their government would look like. So first of all, it's just a blessing. It's incredible that we get to enjoy that. We need to be thankful for it. But secondly, there's a responsibility that comes with it. There's a, you know, we love to talk about our rights. I got the right to do this and the right to do that. And I want freedom of speech and freedom of this and freedom of that. With every right comes a corresponding responsibility. We too often talk about the rights and don't talk about the responsibility that comes with it. It's just like that parable of talents. I mean, God's given you this gift of freedom. Are you going to be one of those two that he came back and said, well done, a good and faithful servant. You know, you've been faithful with a little bit. I'm going to give you even more to be responsible with. Are you going to be that one that buried the talent, hid the talent, maybe said, oh, I'm not voting, I'm not going to get involved, I can't make a difference, or it's too risky or whatever. And then what did he say? Wicked and slothful servant. My friends, if we don't use our freedom, if we don't exercise this citizen duty, I believe we're being wicked and slothful servants. We're not doing the best that we can with what God has given us. He's blessed us with so much, so we've got to be engaged in this. In fact, right now and what's happening in our culture, I think this verse applies as well. Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. I think that is true with regard to our culture. I mean, we're dealing with a culture war right now of worldviews. There are competing worldviews. Some that say that life is not precious, that you can take life in the womb up to literally to birth or even after birth. I mean, we're talking about evil right now. And for us to stand back and say, I'm not going to be involved, or for us to say, I'm going to vote for a candidate that supports that kind of infanticide because the other candidate said something that offended me. Are we seriously going to make moral equivalence of those two things? We've got to have discernment, right? We've got to have discernment. And there is evil in our world right now. And we have got to step up and have a voice of reason with that. Now, I gotta sidetrack just a little bit. Because as I say, be a good citizen and be involved in this. I used to go around and give this presentation over here that says, saving America begins with you. But right now, America's on trial. There's many of you that may be feeling, you may be worried. In your gut, you're wondering, is this system even worth saving? I mean, should I save the American Constitution? Is the American value system good or bad? And there's a lot of things we could discuss today to answer that question. But again, I'm a country boy from Dripping Springs, so I'm just going to make it really, really simple. We're going to look at one basic, easy-to-analyze question. If you want to know whether or not a nation is good or bad, whether or not a nation is worth saving, whether or not a nation's principles and values and system of political and economic structures is producing good results or bad results, very simple question to ask. Are people trying to get in, or are they trying to get out? Because if they're trying to get in, there must be a reason, right? If they're not fleeing to get out, there must be a reason. America has one out of every five immigrants on the planet. Now, that's not illegal or illegal. I'm not distinguishing between those two. That means you're living in a nation in which you were not born. There are more immigrants living in America than the second, third, fourth, and fifth nations combined. There's more immigrants living in America than the bottom 159 nations combined. That tells you right there is something about the American value system that's working pretty darn good, right? Does it mean we're perfect? Absolutely not. Does it mean we're flawed? Absolutely. Guess what? Because America is still made up of human beings, people, as one of my guys says, the joys of working with people, right? I mean, that is part of being in a society. We're going to have flaws, and we're going to have sinners, and we're going to have things like that. But the American dream is still real. Have you ever noticed that you don't hear that phrase with any? Have you ever heard of the North Korean dream? Anybody? No, I don't think I've ever. Have you ever heard of the Cuban dream? Right? It doesn't happen in socialist or communist countries. The American dream is what the entire world looks to and says, that's the model. They've gotten the results. They've created a society that's a blessing. But right now, man, we hear it in our streets all over the nation saying, America's evil. America's bad. We need to destroy America. The Marxist philosophy that's being taught to tear down the American system is on purpose. It's part of what Karl Marx said 150 years ago. To destroy us, you have to divide us. You have to put black against white, rich against poor, country boys against the intellectuals of the Northeast. I mean, whatever you can come up with, you got to come up with something that will divide us, because they don't want us united. They don't want us coming behind these principles and saying this works. So let me just speak to the elephant in the room, all right? Everybody looks at these guys and says, well, weren't they all racist slave owners? Why should we be proud of America? Why should we be proud of what we have at all? Let me tell you, I've studied these guys for 30 years. And I discovered something in that study, an amazing thing. They were human too. They were sinners too. They did evil things, just like you and just like me. They were depraved just like us. And when you go back to 1776 and you look at the world, every nation had slavery. Black on black, black on white, white on black, white on white, yellow, red, you put it all in there. Every combination you can possibly think of. And believe it or not, three-fourths of the men you see in this picture were abolitionists, wanted to end slavery. Even some of the ones that had grown up in slavery and owned slaves abhorred it, hated it, and spent their lives trying to end the institution. Am I putting these guys, they're not angels, I'm not deifying them, I'm not putting them on a pedestal. I'm just telling you they were humans like us. And somehow, some way, God used these flawed men to put a document together that said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Use those flawed men to put those principles in place, and it was those principles upon which Abraham Lincoln stood with the Emancipation Proclamation. It was those principles that Martin Luther King Jr. marched in the streets. He quoted from the Declaration almost as much as he quoted from the Bible. Those principles laid out the ideal of America, and ever since then, we have constantly worked hard to become a more perfect union. And we've done that. We have become the most powerful, the wealthiest, the most free, and the most benevolent nation in the history of the world. But we don't know our history, and therefore we're buying the lies. We're buying the idea that somehow we should destroy America, that it's not salvageable. That's what critical race theory is all about. It's creating this idea that America is so evil and so bad, it must be destroyed. And that's why these kids are in the streets tearing down statues and tearing down the culture and rioting in that way. And a lot of them have a righteous indignation. They believe they're fighting for a good cause. They've been lied to. And we have truth. We have biblical truth that can teach people. Depraved, yes, but the principles of God, the instruction manual of God, when followed, will bless even a flawed community and flawed men and women. That's what the American story is. I got to tell you about a couple of these guys that we leave out of history. Peter Salem was a black patriot that fought at Bunker Hill and got 13 military commendations for what he did in that one day, one of the great military heroes in American history. James Armistead was our first double agent. This was the James Bond of the Revolutionary War. This guy actually convinced the British that he was a runaway slave and that he hated the Americans and he wanted to beat the Americans. So he gets into their camp, gets up to the highest levels, gets all this great information, starts sneaking out, giving it to the Lafayette and the Americans. We start using it to win some battles. As we start winning battles, the British are going, man, these Americans are getting smart. Say, we need some spies to find out what they're doing. Who do we know that could go spy on those guys? We need it. Hey, Armistead, you'd be really good at this. Would you go spy on those Americans? No, I hate those Americans. No, we need you to go spy. No, I'm not going back. We really need... All right, I guess I could do that for you. So now he's got free passage, right? So now he's getting the good stuff. He's taking it to Lafayette and the Americans, giving them all the good information. They cook up a disinformation campaign, go back and give the disinformation campaign to the British. That guy right there sets up Yorktown. We end up ending the war because of what he did. We just don't talk about him anymore. Prince Whipple, Oliver Cromwell, black patriots that fought side by side with Washington throughout the Revolutionary War. Jump forward to the Civil War. These are all black patriots that got the Medal of Honor for protecting the American flag. This guy right here, William Kearny, marched across that battlefield after the guy carrying the colors was killed. He took up the flag, did not let it touch the ground, was shot 7 or 8 times, and continued across that battlefield, refusing to give up the flag. And when he got to the other side, he said, I never let Old Glory touch the ground. They ended up writing a song about it. He got the Medal of Honor for it. Just phenomenal stories. Why? Now think about it. I mean, you think we got racial problems in America today. I mean, this was a Civil War. This was slavery still around. You talk about systemic racism. Absolutely there was systemic racism in the South at that time. But yet he still said that flag is the ideal of America. That flag stands for the value system that we're trying to achieve to. That was the mindset. Alveda King probably taught me more about this than anybody. She's the niece of MLK. Her dad was actually A.D. King. I don't know if you know MLK was actually a pastor, but the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. and the Reverend A.D. King were known as the Sons of Thunder. This is the church where they all grew up and preached their first sermons and everything. And we did one of our Chasing American Legends episodes with Alveda, and we're sitting there in a church Went to the Birmingham Civil Rights Museum. I got to see the cell from which MLK wrote the letter from the Birmingham jail. If you never read it, you need to read it. One of the greatest political works in American history. Didn't even have no research, nothing, no resources. He literally was writing on toilet paper and in the corners of magazines. So when you read that letter, you're going to go, how in the world did, I mean, supernatural what God did through him. Anyway, Alveda was just, she was telling us the story of their home getting burned, bombed, and the house catches on fire, and her dad, AD, gets the kids, everybody out of the house. People start rioting in response to the bombing, and he goes out, and he stands up on a car, and he gets everybody's attention, and he says, stop the violence. If you're going to hurt someone, hurt me, because we will never win with violence. We must win with peace. That's exactly what his brother MLK said all along. It's why they were able to change the world, because of that peaceful message. But the part that stuck with me the most, I don't know if you can tell there in the church, my kids were all sitting down there on the first couple of rows, and Alvita's telling us all these stories, and all of a sudden she stops, she looks at my kids, and she goes, you know, we're the same race. My kids are about as lily white as you can get, all right? She says, we're the same race. They're looking at her confused, I'm looking at her confused, and she goes, there's only one human race. And she said, I got white brothers and sisters, I got black brothers and sisters, I got red brothers and sisters. I said, man, that is, and then she said to us right then, she said, that was Uncle Martin's dream, that we would be judged by the content of our character, not the color of our skin. See, if we can get a hold of that, we can solve all this racial. I'm telling you, watch that episode, Chasing American Legends. It's called Communist King or Peaceful Crusader. People used to accuse MLK of being a communist. Absolutely not true, and we reveal all that in the episode, and it'll inspire you. But all of that to say, I was giving you some of those military heroes, Civil War and Revolutionary War. I just think it's important for us to recognize the freedom that we have comes at a cost. We're a little bit spoiled in America. I mean, let's admit it. We have all these blessings of liberty, and most of us have never had to pay a price for that. Others have paid that price. And so we've been given this freedom, and now the question is, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to be responsible with it? Are we going to actually live it out? The Bible tells us we should render honor unto whom honor is due. So whether it's our military veterans, our first responders, our police officers, all those people that put their lives on the line so that we can be free, part of how we honor them is actually living the freedom. Now think about what it says to a military veteran that was willing to go lay down their life, or someone that did die for our freedom. And then we don't even use our freedom. We don't even show up to vote. We don't even do the very thing they died to protect. See, we do the opposite whenever we actually follow what Abraham Lincoln said at the Gettysburg Address. He said, it's from these honored dead that we take an increased devotion to the cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. An increased devotion to the cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. Well, what's the cause for which they were willing to die? It's called American exceptionalism. It's the system. It's the political and economic structures. And some people don't like that term. They say, oh, Rick, you're bragging. Now, look, I'm a Texan. We Texans know a little something about bragging. You know, I mean, we Texans tend to believe there's only two kinds of people in the world. There are Texans, and there are those that want to be Texans. That's it. Now, that is not a true statement, right? So that's bragging. My mom always said, though, if it's true, it ain't bragging. And when we say American exceptionalism, it's true. America is the exception to the rule. And actually, just to give you some proof that I'm not bragging here, this whole thing was created, this phrase was created by a Frenchman. De Tocqueville's the one that came up with this idea. He saw what was happening in America. And so what it really means, exceptionalism, actually just means extraordinary. It means extraordinary, not ordinary. Beyond ordinary, beyond normal. That's the story of America. And it's because of the principles, not even because of the people, but because of the principles that were put in place. And we've enjoyed the blessings of that. Here's the danger. Here's where we are now. President Reagan said, if we forget what we did, we won't know who we are. He said, I'm warning of an eradication of the American memory that could result ultimately in an erosion of the American spirit. Are we experiencing that or not? Let's start with some basics, more attention to American history, and a greater emphasis on civic ritual. If we forget what we did, we won't know who we are. I would submit to you this morning that both the riots in the streets and the what I call COVID crackdowns, governors across the country acting like dictators and trying to control the movement and the lives of every person in their state without constitutional authority, literally acting as dictators and emperors and empresses, I believe that both of those things are the result of the true pandemic, which has been festering underneath for now 5 decades. Civic ignorance. It's not an insult to our intelligence. It just means we don't know. We haven't been taught our true history, and we haven't been taught what is the formula that actually produces freedom. If you want freedom and liberty and prosperity and all those things on this side of the equation, you got to think about what are the inputs that produce those outputs. And what are the inputs that actually produce division, that produce causing us to hate each other and causing us to fight. So what are we inputting on this side of the equation is going to determine what we get on the other side of the equation. And we have to know where we came from in the first place to do this.
And welcome back. If you want to learn more, I suggest visiting the Patriot Academy or the YouTube link if you want to watch the rest of the sermon. And go track down Rick Green's talks and some of his family and some of the people on the Patriot Academy team. You're going to learn a lot about the founding of our country and the values that were baked into our Constitution and government and how we can make a better future together. What they are doing with young people is amazing, with their mock halls of Congress, where they learn how things actually happen in government, from nominations to bills passing and voting and everything in between there. And another essential reference for biblical citizenship, which is one of their classes they do, is the Founders Bible, which walks through the history of our nation and the founders and the references to the Bible in unison there. And if you want to see that letter that first referenced separation of church and state from Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist Church, that was used to push to prove that Christianity didn't belong in the government, then check it out and get to hear the rest of the story, like Paul Harvey would say. And also have a link to the letter in below. Donations. On the donation fronts, no new things have come in. We're still waiting on a couple more things to get other things set up outside of Fountain, but it's just a work in progress here. A monthly supporter is only $3.50. And if you haven't seen the website, please take a look. A lot has been added every single week that we're finding more helpful links. And we've been keeping up with the calendar, church and business lists and everything else. If you want to get a shout out on here, become a monthly supporter, just make a donation of 1959, which is the year we were incorporated, or otherwise you'll be anonymous if you say that. I hope some business people want to support and make this even better. Make sure and be a producer and subscribe with others. Tell others about this podcast and get the news out to everyone in Fairview. I need to catch up on some social media things to get the word out, but I'm trying to get the websites and payment stuff figured out first. Again, thank you. If you have found this podcast helpful, please show your support with your time, talents, or treasure. If you have an idea or suggestion, please share it with us. We are getting emails from people and responding to them, and we've been adding stuff to the weekly podcast based on their feedback, and this is there. You are a producer of this show. You're part of it, and you can help with your talent. If you've got skills that you can help show with some of the knowledge that you have, that's fine. Treasure, you know, you're receiving this product for free without any paid advertisements. That's got to be worth something. You're getting truly local news that's only about Fairview and the sprinkle of Tennessee. So if that's worth something to you, please consider supporting us using a value for value system to do more. And please follow us on social media on hellofairview.com. And a lot more things are coming, this is just a one-man band. So thank y'all so much, and y'all have a great rest of your day.